Welcome to the Gut Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thank you so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word for you. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
You're in for a special treat today. Not a normal service. And I'm so blessed to be here among you today, to be named among you in life. Such an incredible place of faith. Grab your seat.
About 3.5 years ago, I just started having some symptoms. I knew that something was going on, but I wasn't quite sure what it was. Went to the doctor for just a wellness check, and she called me into the office and just said, your labs came back, and for some reason, your liver numbers are high. So she said, it's nothing to be concerned about. You know, we're going to just have some things checked out. And so I did a little more lab work and realized that my liver numbers were getting higher. Immediately, I started just speaking the word over the situation. I know enough about the word. I've been in this church for 28 years since the inception, been a Christian for years. And I definitely know how to pray. And I definitely know when something is of God or not of God. So John 10:10 says, a thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. At this point, I wasn't really thinking like that because I didn't know what the situation was, but just pulled out every bit of scripture that I could on God's healing. You know, I come against this in the name of Jesus. This, you know, the devil has no place in my life. I just did everything that I knew to do, that I was raised in that way and just have known just my relationship with God. I just said, God, I don't know what this is. It's probably nothing, but I didn't want to leave any stone unturned. And a lot of that was because of some things previously that we had dealt with like maybe Taylor when he was in the hospital, that I just thought, you know, you never just hear something and just say, oh, it's probably no big deal. You just immediately, when you hear something or you feel something or there's some sort of a clue that something's going on, you immediately attack it with the word. And that's what I did. And so I just came against it. I didn't talk about it with anyone. Went and saw my doctor. She was kind of over the process, and then she sent me to a specialist. She said, I think this is something that I would like to send you to a specialist, and just let's just make sure that everything's good. So I went to the specialist, and it was a liver specialist, and he never really gave me any medication or anything like that. He said, you know, we're just going to watch this. So like every 6 to 9 months, you're going to have somewhat of a scan on your liver. Let's just watch it. We're going to do some labs, get your numbers and that kind of stuff. So for 3 years, it was, you know, never really concerning. It was, but I kept speaking the word, and I talked to Bill about it. Didn't even talk to our kids about it because it wasn't even at that place to even talk to our kids about it. Because it was just like, you know what? I mean, I was just believing God. It's like, God, you know what? I mean, you are the author and the finisher of my faith. Jesus was sent to the cross over 2,000 years ago for my sins and for my sicknesses. He took every sickness. And so I just started declaring that. So that day, I mean, that day that she talked to me, I think deep down, I knew something was going on. I didn't have an alarming sense, but I knew you're about to be in a battle. You're about to have to really pull out everything that you know about God's word, everything you know about God. Not that I had to work for it, but I had to receive it. So in this process of, now it's been like 3.5 years, but in this process, little by little, so nothing ever really kind of happened, but I'd say the last 6 months before I had my transplant, little things were indicators. I had pneumonia. I went in the hospital. They said, something's up. Something is not quite right. We're going to get to the bottom of it. Then 3 months later, I went back in the hospital for a sodium deficiency, I guess you would call it. And that's when they even more specialists came in and they said something is definitely up. Well, what's interesting is right before that, Gustavo came in, which I know we talk about Gustavo a lot, but this is pivotal.
This year, these past days, you've been speaking with me.
Y me has estado diciendo.
And you've been telling me.
Dame vida para
give
servirte.
Me life to serve you.
Dame vida.
Give me life to serve you.
Señor.
God.
Estoy dispuesta.
I am willing.
A lo que tú quieras.
Whatever you want.
He came up to me. He turned off the mic and he just said to me, God's going to give you a new liver. And I remember I was stunned. I was like, what? Even though they had told me about the liver numbers, even though they had talked about all that kind of stuff, I don't know. I was like, what? I think he's wrong. I think he's mistaken. What do you mean? You know, I don't know how to explain what I'm trying to explain, but it was just so like, he just said, God wants you to know he's going to give you a new liver. He's going to take care of you and he hears you. And I just said, okay. So I left there and that's when I went into the hospital for the sodium issue. Well, I was there for a while and I think 10 days and got out of the hospital. And, you know, something that I think is important to the story is so many people have said, why didn't you tell me? You know, why did, you know, I knew that your eyes were kind of, there was a yellow tint to it. Or I thought maybe something was going on with you. You weren't quite right or something. And I think one of the biggest things, one of the biggest reasons is because it was, first of all, I'm a private person. Second of all, I felt like that I needed to tell Bill. And I told a couple of the elders what was going on. And I just said, will you believe with me? And absolutely, I knew they would. Told all of our kids. They were believing. I wanted only faith words coming out of people. I did not want anybody to feel sorry for me. I did not want anybody to feel like, oh my gosh, what's going on with Pastor Sandy? Here she's at this church that believes in healing and stuff like that. And I talked to God about that. I said, God, this is what I believe. I know that Jesus died on the cross for my healing. So I don't know what's going on here, but you do. And it's not you. So I'm telling you, we gotta get to the bottom of this. So just kept speaking the word. Absolutely. Never fear. No fear. Never did I have fear. Not one time in the entire process did I have fear. And I remember when I went to that specialist, he said, listen, we need to start thinking about you being put on a list, on a transplant list. Well, that was just like a slap in the face to me because I was like, what? And no, you don't understand. I'm going to get a new liver. Like God's going to give me a new liver. And I'm not getting a transplant. I don't even, you know, one of the things I think is pivotal in this situation is I decided up front that I was going to let the doctors be the quarterback. So they were going to call the plays. I was going to trust God. You know, when I had all three of my children, I didn't care who delivered my kids because my faith was not in that doctor delivering my kids. My faith was in God. I'm going to have a healthy baby. You know, you're in this process. My trust is in you. It's not in the doctors. Now, I love doctors. I absolutely love my doctors and nurses that took care of me. 100%. Thank God for doctors and nurses that have been trained, that know how to do this kind of a surgery, that really helped walk me through it. And so I don't want this to be like I'm bashing the doctors, but I do want you to know that absolutely the final authority and final answer was God. So I had to keep myself in a place to not get in fear and to stay in faith and say, God, no matter how this goes, no matter how this whole thing goes, I'm trusting you. So I said, okay, go ahead and put me on the list. I said, do you absolutely 100%, I went to three doctors. Do you absolutely 100% think I need to be put on a transplant list? Yes, because you may not get a transplant for 3 to 5 years. So let's go ahead and put you on the list to see, you know, just you're a great candidate for it. You're healthy. You know, they did all this observation and found out that I was completely healthy. Just that I needed a liver transplant, which is so bizarre because I was 58 years old at the time. And so I'm like 58 years and I've never been in the hospital other than to deliver my kids. I got on the transplant list, no concerns at all. Bill and I and Kennedy were actually in the car on our way to Oklahoma City to go find out about what a transplant is and what you need to do and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Because I didn't know anything about it. Never been told about it. Never, ever, ever looked on WebMD about liver failure. Never did any of that. I just let the doctors tell me what I needed to know because it kept me in a place that I could just trust God. That's pivotal. We stopped at Whole Foods and we were getting a protein smoothie. And I remember I got a phone call. And I remember they told me when I got on the transplant list that I had to answer every number it was in Oklahoma City, every number that was a 405 number. Even if it was spam, I had to answer it. So a 405 number came through and Bill's in getting the smoothies or whatever. And Kendi and I are in the car and I answered the phone and they said, congratulations, your liver is on its way. Your blood type is B positive. It's not a normal blood type. And we found a donor and it's on its way. And if you can get here in 4 hours, it was like I'd won the lottery. You know, if you can get here in 4 hours, this one's yours. And I said, okay, well, we're already on our way to go to a class. I mean, I was in Lululemon pants and just a t-shirt or whatever. I don't even remember. And I didn't have any bag packed or anything. We drove to the hospital. There was a guy there that was pivotal. I don't know if he was a nurse or he was somebody that was on that floor. And he came in and he just said, well, you know, he said, I've got some good news and I've got some bad news. He said, the good news is the liver is a perfect match for you. Size, everything. He said, the bad news is you only have 15 minutes to get ready. And you had to put this stuff all over you and we're going to wheel you down in 15 minutes. They put me on the stretcher, and I mean, I didn't have time to even think about it. I mean, I am praying in the spirit the entire way going down there. I'm like, God, I thank you that I'll live and not die. I thank you that you have put me on this earth for a reason. I am not done with what I'm supposed to do. I know I'm supposed to be here. And you know what? The only reason I am here on this earth is because of you. So this isn't even anything I have to beg you for. This is something you've already done. And so I just take everything that Jesus has done on the cross, everything that you did by sacrificing your son, I take it right now and I will live and not die. And I will declare that. I will live and not die. Bill's praying, of course. Kendi's praying. The whole family's praying. And went down to have the surgery and there's just a lot of things that happened in the room that was just amazing. But that doctor on that floor, he told me, before I left, he said, I want to tell you something. He said, when you come out of the surgery and you go to ICU, he said, I have one thing to tell you. He said, you get up when every time that physical therapist comes in and says, hey, let's go for a walk. Let's do whatever. He said, you do it. You get up every time. He said, I don't care if it's the day you have the surgery, you get up. He said, you're not going to feel like it. He said, this is the thing. He said, there's pain involved in this. And he said, they're going to help you with that, but there's no amount of medicine that's going to take care of that pain. The great thing is you're never going to be in a more protected place because they're going to be walking with you and you're going to feel pain, but you have to walk through that pain in order to get better. He said, that's the only way you're going to get out of ICU is if you walk every time they come and tell you, do every exercise they come and tell you. Never tell them, well, I don't feel like it. You can come back later. He said, you do it. Well, I feel like that was a God moment. I don't know if that guy's a Christian. I don't know. But it was a God moment because that was pivotal in the rest of the story. So to make a long story short, the right people were in the room. The right surgeon was in the room. I didn't even know who the person was that was going to do the surgery. Probably 8 different doctors in there. It was amazing, okay? So the surgery happened. I get to ICU. Went through, like they said I was going to be in there like 10 days or something. I think I was in there for 5 days, something like that. Ended up every time the physical therapist came, every time, got up, walked around. I mean, I walked around the ICU waved to different people, even though most people were on ventilators or whatever. I mean, I was like, I'm getting out of here. And I kept telling the nurses, I said, hey, I'm out of here. And they said, oh, we know it. You know, I mean, like they knew. And it's like, you know what? I'm getting out of here. Got out of ICU. They took me to a regular room, which was on the liver floor, liver nurses and everything. Unbelievable nurses that took care of me. One of the nurses that was just pivotal in my healing process. And she told the other nurses, she goes, I want to be with this patient. I'll come in after hours. She said, I know I'm supposed to be with this patient. She was a Christian. We had worship on, and she ended up dropping everything and just worshiping in the room.
Love it. Teach me how to receive it.
Kept worship on the whole time. You know, when people came in, we're like, only good news. Speak only good news when you come in. And they did. And it was pivotal to my healing process. I was supposed to be there 3 months. I got out within 8 days. From the time I had the surgery till the time I got out of the hospital, it was 8 days. Never before have they ever let a patient out in 8 days. They ended up sending me home. One of the things that happened while I was in ICU is the day of the surgery is that COVID happened, and they were trying to figure out about everything. And so they were trying to figure out protocol actually while I was there, and ended up finding out from my doctor that I was the last transplant for the next 3 months, because they just shut everything down from that point. So I just felt like it was a God thing, the timing, walked through it. And that's something that I want to say is that so much of this is, you know, that no matter what you get, whether it's a diagnosis for something or whether it's a divorce you're going through or whatever you're going through, it's pivotal that you speak the word, you come against the enemy, and you speak God's word in faith, and you declare spiritually what is going to happen. God, I thank you that I'll live and not die. I thank you that you show me the way to get through this this situation with my husband, or whatever the situation, or my child, whatever. He's faithful to do that. He's faithful to show you how you're going to do it, what the process is. You know, did I know that I was going to have a process? Listen, I literally was so sure about that God was going to do a creative miracle and give me a new liver, that I thought in ICU they were going to come tell me that when they did the surgery, they found out that I did not need to have a liver transplant. That is how much I felt that's what was going to happen. The bottom line is, that's not what happened. What's happened is, and then what they said is, they said it was actually worse than we thought. Okay. So it was not the process that I thought I was going to have to go through. The great thing about it is that God is incredibly faithful. I got out in 8 days, had the most amazing time in the hospital. Don't even know how to describe that. Got out, and they let me come home and recuperate in Tulsa at my own home for the 3 months. They've never, ever let someone do that. They've never let someone go home and just recuperate at home. And so it was really amazing that that happened. So what's great is the whole world was in quarantine. The whole world was in quarantine from COVID. I was in quarantine because of my transplant. And so I don't know if you know me very well, but I love to be involved in things, and I love to celebrate, and I love weddings and baby showers. I just love it all. And it was so awesome from my perspective, because everything shut down and there was no activity. There wasn't even church. You know, I watched online. That was huge that I watched online. I'm very thankful that I got to watch online. The end of the story is that I have a new liver and I have not had a problem with it. It will be 1 year, March 11th. They released me back in November completely. It's not about the process. It's about you trusting God. It's about you knowing that God is a good God. The devil's a bad devil. Everything that comes from God is good. Everything that doesn't, that's not good, is not from God. So you have to bind that. You have to take care of that. You have to not let that into your life, into your thinking. You have to watch what you look at. You know, Bill makes fun of me about Hallmark movies, but it's like, that was one of the only things I could find on TV that didn't have something crazy in it, and did not ever look at WebMD, and prayed for my doctors the entire time, prayed for their wisdom, prayed that they would know exactly what to say to me. And I remember at one point, we went in and my doctor said, I want what you're having. I mean, I remember my surgeon told me that. He goes, this doesn't happen. There's three surgeons that actually do the surgery in Oklahoma City. And one of them just said, hey, you know, they're expect complications, expect things to happen, expect, you know, and I mean, the whole time he's talking to me, I'm like, I don't receive that. I'm not saying it out loud, but I'm like, and I just said to him, I said, you know what? I'm going to be the one. He goes, not one person has ever not had a complication in the first year. And I looked at him, I said, well, I'm going to be your first. I said that to him. I said, I'm going to be your first. And I thank God. And this isn't like by no means am I boasting about this by any means, because let me tell you something. It is a daily thing. Every day I get up and say, God, thank you that I'm alive. Thank you that I'm here for my kids. Thank you that I'm here for my grandkids. God, I thank you. Your mercies are new every day. I thank you that your protection is over me every day. I'm here to do your will. And I thank you that you show me that, that you show me what your will is. You bring people across my path. I'm such a private person that I'm doing this video not because I want you to hear my story, because let me tell you something. Honestly, I don't want to talk about my story anymore. I feel like this is kind of the conclusion of talking about my story. I don't want to be known. I don't want to be identified as the person that had the liver transplant. And I've talked about this before. I think people can get in a moment that they make that their identity. So it's like all they talk about is, you know, I had this transplant, or I've been sick in this area, or I've got this issue, or I'm divorced, or I'm single, or, you know, you can get caught in that identity really quick. I do not want to get caught in that identity. I am healed. I'm ready to move forward. I've never been a look back person. I'm always a look forward person. And I want to do what God has called me to do. And however long I am on this earth, which I am believing a very long time, I want to fulfill the call that's on my life. And whatever that is, that's my goal.
You know, there were two moments that were pivotal to me, both with Gustavo Páez. One was, I think, 2019 when he was here. And man, the place is just electric. He stops and walks over to Sandy, puts his mic down, and essentially says, God's going to give you a new liver, not knowing any of the details of what she was going through. The second was after the transplant. We're at dinner in the middle of a meal, and he just stopped, directed to Sandy, and said, you're going to see your grandbabies grow up. And so don't have any fear. Those two things are pivotal, because it wasn't just, hey, somebody's encouraging us. Yes. The man of God spoke.
Yes. And I think something that I wanted to say earlier is just that everything in life is spiritual. Everything. So I knew this was a spiritual battle. I knew from the very first time that I went to the doctor, maybe I didn't know to what extent, but I knew it was spiritual, because everything's spiritual.
Yeah.
I just think it's so important that you realize that everything's spiritual. So then you just take the steps that need to happen to take care of that, which I talked about earlier. I am so thankful for Gustavo. I mean, I know we talk a lot about him, but I think it's amazing that God brought him in. He did tell us that night at dinner too. He said, you know, I wasn't going to come speak that first time. He said, I was busy and I didn't know you guys. And he said, I just kind of thought, well, maybe I'll just pass it off. But he said, the Lord kept impressing on me that I needed to come speak at your service. And so he said, you know, so I just came in and I trusted God and I was obedient. And he said, when I walked in the door and saw Pastor Sandy, he said, God said, that's why you're here. And I'm so glad he was here, because even from that first word that he gave me that I was gonna get a new liver, you know, and even if I didn't completely understand it at the time, I always went back to that, because I always knew, okay, so I'm getting a new liver. Okay, so whatever it is, with whatever you're going through, whatever the situation you're going through, God is faithful. God is absolutely faithful to his word and faithful to whatever Jesus has already done on the cross. So I think the biggest message of this whole thing is, no matter what you're going through, the answer is in God's word, and it's what Jesus did on the cross. You have to speak it out. You have to speak life over your situation, not run to social media, not run to Facebook, not tell everyone every detail that's going on. You just absolutely go to God's word. That's you can just get a couple of people to like believe with you. And, you know, that's really all you need.
We kept this thing in close ranks. We didn't have to deal with the mass attention about it. After the fact, people are like, man, we never knew. And you know what? We're great with that because it never muddied anything.
No.
And
kept me in a place of faith.
That's exactly right.
Kept me believing, trusting God and not listening to, well, you know, I had this friend that, you know, had the transplant and they're no longer here. Whatever the situation is.
Yeah.
You just can't listen to that kind of stuff. Whether it's a baby you're believing for, you're going to hear horror stories from people.
Yeah.
You got to shut that door. And that's all I did. Shut that door. I know that Bill is the head of my household, and I know that he's my pastor, and I know that that I submit to him. But at the end of the day, God is first and foremost in my life, and my submission to God is huge. And so I have to know for myself that I'm going to stand before God, and I'm going to make account for what I did in this life. I'm gonna make an account for every word that was spoken and every person that I ministered to. I'm not gonna be able to say, well, you know what, Bill did that part. Bill was the pastor and he did that part. Bill is my husband and he did that part. I knew that this all depended on me. And I know that's crazy. I know that it was pivotal that Bill was involved and some elders and all that kind of stuff. But when the rubber met the road, I'm telling you, it was, what do I believe?
Yep.
What am I believing for? Do I know God? Do I know what his provision is? Do I know what he will do and he has already done? Absolutely, I do. I know God. And I'm telling you, that got me through it. And so I'm just believing that every single one of you guys will just do a gut check today. Do you know God? Do you really believe his word? When he says that he is your provider, that he is your help in time of need, that when he says in his word that he is the healer and he's already done it, you have to believe it. You have to get it deep, deep, deep seated.
Trust it.
You don't wait until you're in a situation. You don't wait until your marriage is at a point of divorce. You don't wait till you're at a place that you need a liver transplant. You better have that word in you from the get-go, so that you can pull that out. Pull out all the scriptures I talked about earlier. Pull things out. You got to know God. You just got to know him.
Yeah.
And you have to have a relationship with him. You've got to have that kind of fortitude in your life that when you stand before God, you can say, God, I did everything I knew to do to follow your will and to do what you've called me to do. And that's all you need. Everybody has that in you. You have it in you.
Yeah.
And you're at this church, and that's what we're going to be speaking. We're going to speak in God's word, everything that he promises us. Thank you. You guys can be seated. First of all, I want to apologize to all the guests that you had to watch a video for probably 30 minutes about my story. But honestly, I wanted to tell it today because the one-year mark is this Thursday that it happened, and I'm just very, very thankful to every single one of you that prayed, believed God, did things like brought meals, I mean, sidewalk chalked, you know, my driveway. I think my birthday was in May, and it was still COVID, so, I mean, things had to be, you know, people had to come by and kind of like wave and, you know, that kind of thing, and just brought things, and you know, I think the most important thing, all those things, all the videos, all the, that people would leave messages while I was in ICU, and I got them. And actually, people thought, like, I was responding about things, and people thought, would call Bill and say,
like, is she on some kind of heavy medication? Because it's, you know, it's just, she's crazy right now. And it's like, but I wanted to respond to every single person that said something. So I did. And so I apologize for that. That was when I was in ICU. But anyway, but I'm just, I think the video really told everything that needed to be told, except one thing that I did leave out, is that I was actually on the transplant list for only 2 weeks. So that was another miracle of God. I was the last transplant in the United States. Then COVID hit. And when COVID hit, I actually watched it unfold, all the protocol, while I was in ICU and when I was in the hospital. And it was interesting. But I'm telling you, I just really appreciate you guys. And I know some of you guys are like, this is my first time I've ever been here. I don't really even know you. And I just want you to know that this church, and it all comes back to what God's doing and what God is doing in this church. And this is why you want to be grounded in a Bible-believing church. Because when you go through something like this, you need God's word. You need someone that is agreeing with you, someone that is standing with you during this time. Because let me tell you something, was it easy? I mean, it's so funny because so much of the time, and I know Bill can speak to this, you know, the doctors were like, well, she's going to be in all this pain and all this kind of stuff. And I really wasn't. I was not. And I mean, really some miraculous things happened that I didn't even speak about on the video. The whole reason I did the video is because I want you to know that God is faithful. 100% God is faithful. And God is no respecter of persons. And He will do for you what He did for me. And it, no matter what situation you're going through. So at the end of this, in a few minutes, we're going to have prayer. And if you want anybody that wants to come up, we will pray with you. And I want to believe with you. I want to believe for the miraculous. I remember sitting in the service knowing that I was on a transplant list, and thinking, here I'm the pastor's wife. I mean, I want y'all just to get a feel of this. I've been here since the inception. And it's like, what is going on? I mean, I just remember thinking, what is going on? And I remember clinging to every single worship song, every single word that Bill spoke. He was my pastor. I mean, I clung to that. So I know what that's like. I know what it's like to come in and know that God's faithful, but be in a situation where you're sitting there and you're thinking, I'm incredibly lonely today, incredibly lonely. And I don't know where to go with this, you know? I mean, it could be something like that. It's not that you have to have a transplant. It's not that you have to be diagnosed with something. It can be anything you're going through. God will take care of it. I promise you, I'm living proof today that He will, and He's faithful. So that's my story. Is there anything you want to say? So thank you. Yeah.
I'm just going to stand here and look at her and go back to that I'm submitted to my husband thing that she said on the video. She's saying, hey, go ahead. It's in the eye of the beholder. How about Sandy? You know, she trusted God through the entirety. And I want you to know there was never a speck of doubt, not one speck. And you have to understand, we know that every time we open these doors, most everybody in here is going through something. And we're well aware of that. We did. And there's things that you want to just kind of spray to the masses. And then there's other things you want to close your ranks. And whatever it is, I'll tell you, and I sense the Spirit of God here that people watching online right now, if you're dealing with any depression at all, get out of your house. I'm just telling you, don't isolate yourself. Find a way to church. And I know it's been a year now with the pandemic, and I understand all the different scientific viewpoints, but I'm telling you, the spiritual aspect of it overrides all of it. And it's important for us that you guys know how deeply grateful we are to this church through this time. There was never any doubt. There was never any depression. There was never, it was always, we're taking the next step. We're taking the next step. We're taking the next step. And the next thing you know, she's on the health side of this whole thing. And something the Lord, if I were going to preach a message today, the word God gave me for this hour in this church is the days coming up for you are going to be so much better than any of the days that you've had. And what I realized with this, and this video just reconfirms it for me, this is the greatest time of our lives right now. And I'll tell you, I needed this revival personally. This has just been, the first half of it has just been incredible for me, for my home, for this church. I've seen God so often and so many different aspects of Him. And I'm just so appreciative. I'm excited about the second half of this revival. I'm excited about what God's doing from this revival.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.